Support comes from Mosby Building Arts, replacing garage doors for improved curb appeal and energy efficiency. Details at callmosby.com.
This is St. Louis on the Air from St. Louis Public Radio. I'm Elaine Cha. On July 20th, the ship Handala departed Gallipoli for Gaza. On board were 19 people, including St. Louis resident and longtime activist Bob Souberry. Last Saturday, the boat was intercepted on its stated mission, which is to challenge Israel's siege of Gaza.
I appeal to my comrades, friends, family, to everyone to put pressure on the United States government to demand my release and the release of everyone on board the Handala as soon as possible.
That was the voice of Bob Souberry speaking in a video uploaded this weekend to TikTok. One day later, Souberry was released, though according to news reports, most of the ship's crew remains in custody awaiting deportation. Souberry is one of many who are speaking out against the human cost of the war in Gaza and calling on Israel to act to prevent a famine. Israel has maintained a blockade on Gaza since 2007. Israeli officials have denied charges of genocide and maintain that Hamas and the UN are to blame for the failure to distribute life-saving aid and Gaza's ongoing humanitarian crisis. This conflict started almost 22 months ago when Hamas launched an attack on Israel on October 7, 2023, killing 1,200 people and kidnapping dozens. Israel's military response has killed more than 60,000 Palestinians, according to Gaza's health ministry. On this show, we've heard from many different people who have been moved to action by this war, to act on their beliefs and to speak out. On Monday, as news of Bob Souberry's release was just being reported, I sat down with his wife, Barbara Souberry. I began by asking her about her reaction to the news that the Israeli Navy had intercepted the Handala and detained her husband.
They had the live stream, which I'm sure everybody saw. Bob was right in front. I just watched him with his hands up. He had the prime seat there. And I knew this was going to happen. We knew it was going to happen. They knew it was going to happen. So nothing really went through my mind any more than the tension of the week, you know, knowing what was coming.
Mm-hmm. And have you been able to speak with Bob since Handala was intercepted?
Oh, yeah. It took a good 24 to 48 hours, and about 4 o'clock in the morning, his attorney called me. And she called and she said, Bob's going to be released. He and Hawaida are both going to be released. And as soon as I can, I will have him give you a call. So she used her phone and he called and he goes, "It's all cool, Barb. It's all cool."
You two have been together for a really long time.
Almost 50 years.
Mm-hmm. When you and Bob first started having conversations about his joining the Handala crew, what did you talk about and when did those conversations begin?
You know, he got on the Handala 3 years ago. Handala was a fishing boat. It was called Navaran, and it was a fishing boat out of Norway. And it was above the Arctic Circle in Norway. And Bob's a sailor. We both are. And he actually had a captain's license. And let me go, I'm going to digress just briefly. There's always the Arab American festivals in Forest Park. Well, I guess about 10 years ago, there was one in Forest Park, and there was somebody there who was talking about a possible flotilla to Gaza. Actually, it was to Gaza. It was definitely before October 7th, before all that's going on now. But he was totally, totally intrigued, totally fascinated because of his background, you know, whatever. So it had been there for a while. So when this fishing boat came up, he jumped on it, and he went up and helped them bring it down to Oslo, got off the boat, and then they took the Handala through Europe so that they could stop in different ports and educate people. So there were some wonderful crew members who were great speakers, who had a lot of experience, like Yonatan Safira from Breaking the Silence. It's a good friend of Bob's. He was on the boat for a while. So they did that, and then Bob got off the boat again, and then he said, I'd like to do the last leg. There's always some apprehension because, he's going to a war zone. You know, when he goes to Palestine, he's going to a war zone. But I've been there. I've seen the war zone. And mm-hmm. It's also a beautiful place.
And you mentioned Bob's background. He has a very personal connection to Israel that goes back even before the country was founded in 1948. Barbara, tell us about Bob's connection to Israel and Palestine and what it means to him.
Bob's parents are of Yemeni descent. His mother, I believe, was actually born in Palestine, and his father was born in Yemen and walked across the desert with his father to Palestine. And they left Palestine before 1948, before the Nakba. But they were considered Palestinian Jews, and they're especially unusual because they are Yemenite Arabic Palestinian Jews. So that's, that was his tie to his Palestinian roots and his Arabic roots. You know, I mean, he looks like Omar Sharif, so he can't get away with, not being Arabic. Mm-hmm. And he has a lot of family there, mostly his father's family. A lot of his mother's family immigrated to the United States. And so there was a lot of family there, And he would go there. He said the first time he went and really spent some time was during R&R in the Vietnam War. Mm-hmm. So, he spent a lot of time. He took some absolutely incredible pictures. And so he would go back and forth, and see his family and all that. And he was very strongly, it was a part of his Jewish heritage. He didn't know anything else. He went to Zionist camps, Camp Habonim in Ojai, California. And he grew up that way.
You use the term Nakba, which is the word for catastrophe, and it's a term that Palestinians use to commemorate Israel's war in 1948 that marked its independence. Given what you've described about how Bob grew up, Nakba is not a word that he would have used in his childhood or maybe in his youth or young adulthood. How is it that he came to start using this word? What was it that happened for him?
He educated himself. He was in his 50s, 50s, 60s, I can't remember which. And he went over to Israel right after, and again, I can't remember the year, but there was a shelling by Hezbollah, Lebanon, on Haifa. And his our nephew's wife, her family was in Haifa, and Bob felt like really bad, really strong about it. And he joined a program to go over and work on a military base. Working on a military base was not like learning how to shoot guns or anything like that. It sounded kind of silly to me. It was kind of like adults playing soldiers or something. Mm-hmm. But what he discovered was the people who were there, who were part of this, were very racist, and he didn't like it. So when he came back, he decided that he needed to go and explore what was on the other side of the Green Line, the other side of the wall.
And how is what you've described, Barbara, how does it relate to what Bob has been doing at sea on the Handala?
Well, the trip, ultimately the purpose of the trip is to bring an awareness of what's going on in Gaza, because even though it is just so out there and so unbelievable, there are so many people here who don't know about it. I have spoken to people and said, well, Bob's on a boat to Gaza. Oh, really? Where's Gaza? I'm like, are you kidding me? Whoa. So there's that. And there was also the remote possibility that they might actually get through. and bring some type of hope, you know, just the hope thing. And what they were doing on the boat was every single day they had meetings. So they talked among each other, and they learned how to do protective presence again, and how to deal with the imminent incursion by the IDF, because it was unfortunately inevitable. But they got so close; they got 76 miles. That's a lot better than any ship has. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was amazing.
That was Barbara Suberi. I spoke with her on Monday, less than a day after her husband Bob was released from Israeli custody. The rest of the crew, according to recent reports, are being deported from the country. Yesterday, one day after my conversation with Barbara, producer Danny Wisentowski was able to reach Bob Suberi by phone. Bob Suberi described his experience of being detained by the Israeli Navy on the Handala only days before.
We were well trained, so we knew what happened to previous boats, and we kind of knew what to expect. We didn't know how violent it would be or nonviolent, but you know, it was kind of sick how soft it was. It was almost, you know, they boarded the boat very professionally. I was on watch. I was one of six guys that were on the watch crew. And we noticed something unusual on the radar. There was a sort of a cluster of boats that were not moving at all in relation to us. And this went on for a couple of hours. Plus, there was a drone overhead that was circling around and around and around. I mean, we saw plenty of drones on the way, and we kind of knew it was coming. We tried calling them. They didn't respond. Then at one point, Hueda got on the VHF radio, called him. They did respond to her. They told her that we were entering a closed military zone. And she basically said to them, you know, look, we're in international waters. We are civilians. We're from civil society. We're bringing humanitarian aid to Gaza. You have no right and no reason to come anywhere near us. They approached this anyway, but they were, you know, like I said, very professional about boarding the boat. They came up in these rubber inflatable boats. And yeah, it was like that. They took over the helm, drove the boat to Ashkelon. We got there about 9 or 10 o'clock in the morning. Hueda and I, since we're both Israeli citizens, were taken to a different police station than the others because they had to go through like immigration process before being deported, which was happening today. Hueda and I were asked to sign a document stating that we would not enter Gaza for a year or 2 years, whatever. And we said no. Our mission was to break the blockade. The amount of humanitarian aid we were carrying was a drop in the ocean compared to what's required. But, you know, our mission was to break the blockade, and we will continue our missions until we are successful. We are not going to stop.
That was St. Louis resident and pro-Palestinian activist Bob Suberi. On Sunday, he was one of about 20 passengers on the ship Handala, which was intercepted by the Israeli Navy before it could reach Gaza. The ship carried humanitarian aid. After his release on Sunday, Suberi planned to travel to a Palestinian village to meet a friend, an activist named Odeh Hatalin. Hatalin had helped produce the Oscar-winning documentary No Other Land, which documented the conflicts between Israelis and Palestinians in the West Bank. But before Suberi could meet him, on Monday, Odeh Hatalin was shot and killed by an Israeli settler in the village of al-Khair. The killing has led to the settler's arrest and international outcry. Bob Suberi was in that Palestinian village, mourning his friend, when he spoke with our producer on Tuesday.
Well, Odeh was like a brother to me, a younger brother, quite a bit younger. He was a wonderful individual, and he was very important in the community. He was kind of a leader in the community. He was also an English teacher at school. He's got three young kids. The oldest is six. And I talked to him when I got out of jail. He called me and he said, "When are you coming? When are you coming?" And we laughed and joked, and it was just wonderful to talk to him. And I was so looking forward to seeing him. And then we find out the next day that he's been shot. At first we heard he was shot in the stomach. He was actually shot through his lung in the chest, and the bullet went through him, and he bled to death. So, you know, halfway to the hospital, we heard that he had passed. We went anyway, because Israel is notorious for holding on to bodies for forensic reasons. We waited until Oda's oldest brother showed up to identify the body. He was not approachable. He was surrounded by army, and they were like, they wouldn't let us get anywhere close to him. I mean, it's like an unreal world here, and people don't know what's going on. You know, I have family in Israel. We were all Zionists as kids growing up, and you know, I dared to cross the green line. They told me, "Don't do it! Don't do it! You're going to get shot. You're going to get stabbed in the back." Well, that never happened. And then I ended up living in a Palestinian village for 3 months at a time, and I invited them. I called them frequently. Come and meet these people. They're wonderful. You know, what's happening now is devastating, and it's personal to me. So we need to get the word out.
That was St. Louis resident and pro-Palestinian activist Bob Zuberi speaking yesterday to our producer, Danny Wisentowski. Earlier this week, Zuberi was one of 19 people arrested on the ship Handala, which attempted to break through Israel's blockade of Gaza. This episode was produced, recorded, and edited by Danny Wisentowski.
Audio engineering and podcast design by Aaron Dorr.
Our executive producer is Alex Hoyer.
St. Louis on the Air is a production of St. Louis Public Radio. Understanding starts here.
Do you find yourself regularly listening to episodes of St. Louis on the Air? Suggest us to a friend you think might enjoy our conversations. And leave us a review and rating on Apple Podcasts on the App Store. It's the simplest way to help people discover our show. Thank you.
St. Louis Public Radio is a member-supported service of the University of Missouri-St. Louis.